Church, what's that other way we say yes around here sometimes? Amen, amen. Some of you missed that cue. I'll let you be seated anyways, okay? Want to introduce you to someone that perhaps doesn't need an introduction around us. He's been here before, but he's stateside yet again, and so he's going to share an update. It's the Lamb family that I'm referring to, both David and Tiffany Lamb, that work for Wycliffe Bible Translators that are serving in Papua New Guinea. The backstory about how I became connected with David, and I think us connected in that way as well, was my family was at Lakeside, I don't even remember how many years ago, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, just up there for an evening, enjoying some of the entertainment. And you do what you do with a family with many children when you're going to enjoy an evening of entertainment. You sit in the back, okay? And as you'll find out, the Lamb family has many children as well, and so they were sitting in the back as well. And so I strike up a conversation with a stranger, or maybe he struck it up with me. I don't know how it happened, but as our families are trying to corral many kids, vastly outnumbered and listening to the entertainment, we struck up a conversation that led to future conversations, including this conversation together. David and Tiffany, I believe at that time, were getting ready to approach the mission field there. And so that's bloomed and flourished. Our missions committee has supported the Lamb family for the past couple of years. And whenever the Lambs have been stateside, they've been able to share with us. I think it was before their initial launch. And I believe Wycliffe, every 5 years, David, I should have hammered out some of these details before. Sorry about that. Every 5 years, there's a mandatory furlough stateside, and so they have been here since June, stateside, and have packed their weekends, many weekends, popping into different churches that have supported them, and this is the week that we are privileged to have both David and Tiffany and their family to share with us an update about life in Papua New Guinea. And so make David feel welcome as he comes forward and gives this morning's message there.
Hello, family. It's good to be here and worship with you. Thank you, Justin. It was very much a God-ordained moment when I struck a conversation with a pastor at Lakeside and didn't expect that at all as we're corralling our three. I think three were asleep and two were just drowsy and kind of coming out of the entertainment. And it was great, a great moment, an obvious moment when God was doing something. It was really cool. So we are a big family. We have 5 little ones. I got to push the button. That's what it is. There we go. This is our family. We have Louisa is our oldest. Ari Jean is our second. Madeline, Benaya, and Simona. And God gave us a story with our kids' names. That's why I mentioned them, because I don't expect you to memorize that. L-A-M-B-S. We have an acronym, the Lambs. That's our last name. And we named Louisa, Ari, Jean, and Madeline, L-A-M, without knowing what we were doing. And my brother-in-law had to say, when we brought Madeline home, I think the next day he said, so when are you going to have another one? And I said, dude, that's inappropriate to ask that question. And he said, well, you have L-A-M, now you have to have B. And I thought, wow, God's doing something. And it's cool to be attentive to what the Lord is doing. So we are the Lambs, and we live and work in Papua New Guinea. We've been there for 5 years. And COVID threw a little hiccup in there. We did come home for a little bit there because of COVID, but we realized it was safer over there than it was here. So we went back and kept working. And we've been there since 2018. And we have some lessons of scripture. So we are Wycliffe Bible Translators. And I like to start out these talks by inviting you, actually kind of turning off the mic. Now, there are, English is the international language, really. And in many places around the world, it has formed pidgin languages. And this is just one instance. In Hawaii, the Hawaiian pidgin language came from English, but now is its own language, really. It's qualified in many ways to have its own dictionary and such. So if you notice, boy is capitalized here. That's the Son of God. They don't say boy. They don't say son. They say boy. Okay, now this is the language we speak. The pidgin language in Papua New Guinea is called Tok Pisin. They don't have a j sound, so they say, instead of pigeon, they say pisin. This is the exact same verse. It's saying the same thing. Tiff, do you want to read it for me? I always call on her. Go ahead. Good job. Pikinimon is capitalized. That's son of God. If you could see, there's prophet. They took that word from English, prophet. There's lots of words that come from English in there, but it is its own language. It's been developing over the last 120, 150 years. I wanted you to imagine many, many, most places around the world, people come to church and they speak one language and then they read the Bible in either English or in a trade language, a pidgin language. And this is most of their experience, is that the pastor reads in a pidgin language and they all kind of understand, kind of like the Hawaiian one. We kind of get it, but we don't really understand the nuances of the language. So this is what we do in Papua New Guinea, is we work with literacy, how people read, how they understand what they're reading. And this is what we do. We kind of get interested in this subject. Yeah. Papua New Guinea is an island north of Australia. It's actually divided in half there. The left side is Indonesia, and the right side is Papua New Guinea. It's an independent country. 1977, I think it was independent. And it's a developing nation, and struggles with government finances and difficulty building roads and keeping things maintained. But wonderful people. God's church is there already. And we are working with them to build it up. We live in the mountains. In the middle of this island we live at about a mile high of elevation. This is a picture of our little town. It's hard to see, but there are a bunch of little houses in this group of trees here in the front. In the back is just wide open mountains, and those mountains go and go and go on. But it looks like there's nobody in those mountains, but really there are villages all over the place. And so in our little missionary community here, we have three languages on each side of us. So the people that live amongst us, they speak Tok Pisin in order to talk to us. And we've learned that language. We're still learning that language. It's not super easy. But they speak their own language in their household. And that's the language we want to translate the Bible into. Because that's the language the mothers are using with their children. That's the language that the grandfathers are teaching the boys in. We want that. That's the language God teaches his followers in. Just a little more pictures of Papua New Guinea. It is, one person said after they left, they said, it's like an egg carton turned upside down. It's just like this. There's absolutely no flat spot. And that really is true. It stuck in my mind. And I thought, that's a good example. And here's an example also. This is one of the landing strips that our pilots have to land on to get to some of the language groups. Oftentimes looks like that. I do have a video now, video number one there, that is of one of our translator friends. Okay, I'll just, go ahead.
Flesh for me, one plant is for flesh. Me play like plant, it would play something. Kai kai, wara, len, sun, over something, would play. Me play start freedom. Me play yamamas. That's one plan heavy tassel, and we plan our transport. Lowakabout, it comes, walks up, lole, and give maybe lowakabout.
Let's blow me plan, stop on top of mountain, and me long with Liglo Nambis. I'm blow up, plus, and I'm so I see Lomipa walkabout. That's all time blow. The rain hot long mi pla walk about. Mi pla can walk about tupla day and about mi pla come up nambis. Na mi pla sleep morning mi pla kira mi pla sim boat or dinghy. Na mi pla come lolly. Lo dinghy am sa sim mi pla sem 1 hour. Isa got every time solwara I rap mi pla sa we pretty glick.
Plus mi pla stop mi pla mama slow enjoy my life na stop because. Mama kare mi plai long dis plakap na blut lo mi plai pas long ground pini so mi plai indo ka nit long move. Big plan mama same stuff because over a blessing long big man and stuff. Advice up long me now and Sonia. I'm come long America. Walk about long and long go back long place long me plan I'm hard to mass. One plan time bingo finish me plan I walk about to go that's all. I'm heavy to mass long walk about now me plan I walk about triple day long road. Triple night long road na be me plan come up long place. Yeah, boy, man, tap long mountain street.
Long way.
I'm hard through. Me plan sorry to lem.
So now this plan time I'm lucky go long place long me plan. I'm sorry plan long support as well.
So me I'm a master of this work me again. I'm me come up in some plan group plan impact lo life lo me. So me I'm a master of some translation and group plan work. Me I'm a master me can talk out lo one something come up a place na affect me life lo me plan. Me I'm a master solo me can talk out.
A good picture of Papua New Guinea for you. Now, Papua New Guinea also has coastlines where it's not that hilly, but everything inside is really similar to that. Now, this translator is a good friend of ours there. She lives in the missionary community with us, and she will be in the missionary town for a little while and then go out to a village for a little while, like a month or 2 months, live out there, live back. And so we've gotten to know her really well. We have chicken, egg-laying chickens in there in Papua New Guinea because that's a good meat. We need that protein. Anyways, when the translator was going back to village and we were getting ready to come here, she said, "What are you guys doing with your chickens?" And I said, "Well, we're giving them to somebody who needs them." She said, "I need some chickens in the village." "Oh, sure. Here's three of them." And we figured out a way to get her the birds, and she's never done this before, so we're talking to her about what she needs to do when she gets to the village, build a little place so the dogs don't get them. There's stray dogs. Anyway, she did this. She took them in the helicopter out to this village, built a nice little place for them. And I think 3 or 4 days after she had done this, she messaged with us and said, "They're not laying any eggs. What's wrong?" Does anybody know what's wrong? They got traumatized from the... They got traumatized. They went in the helicopter. No birds go in the helicopters usually. It's a very, very loud situation, very strange. All of a sudden, they're in the village in a very strange place. They started laying a few days later, but it's just a fun situation that we get to live in. Oh dear, I pushed the wrong button. There we go. Thank you. This is my, so what I do there, as I'm not a translator, I work with translators to help them get their job done. They are formally trained as linguists. I am formally trained as an audio technician and video technician. So I work in the studio to produce the audio version of the Bible. Now, these people mostly are illiterate, what you call it, but literacy is a funny thing. It's kind of like a spectrum thing. They could read a lot of things. They see an exit sign, they know what that is. But if you want them to learn deeply about their creator, that's much more difficult. Oral learning is more their thing. They're traditionally used to hearing stories from their parents and learning much from that. So you give them an audio Bible and they just gobble it up. They love it. So that's my work. This is the studio that we have up there in the Highlands. It's a professional studio, so we can get all the rooster sounds out and the engine noises of people driving by and stuff. And I bring the teams in and work with them in the studio and it takes about 3 months to record an entire New Testament. It's a long marathon of a work, of a project. So, but I like to illustrate a little more why this is all necessary. Here's a picture of where we live here. And the blue represents English, our language. And the shades of blue are the different kinds of English. This is a linguistic map of America. As you go down further south, the language changes a little bit. It doesn't become a new language. It's just a little different. There are blips of red up there, which are different languages up in Canada. It's French, I don't know. Anyways, and here's Papua New Guinea, where they have just less than 900 languages. It's amazing. This place is the most, they call it, linguistically diverse country in the world. It has the most languages. And so in this small, tiny country, landmass-wise, it's about the landmass of California. And they have just less than 900 languages. God wrote history. We find ourselves in this situation as the church, and we think it'd be much easier to give them an English or a Pidgin Bible. But that's not effective ministry. So our goal is to give them their local language Bible. If you can picture it this way, so picture kind of every three or four towns or villages are family connected and they speak the same language. Now, if you go just a mountain over, which is not too far, then the next group of villages all speak the same language. And those languages are very different. They may be able to understand each other or to hear, oh, that person is speaking a different language and they're saying something about market or something. But if they were to converse, they would use the Pidgin language, the trade language. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It really is beautiful to watch these people be connected as they are a nation together, but they are very different. Their identity is in who they are and their language and their language group, and it gives them confidence when they are able to get God's word in their own language. It's a beautiful thing. So just to explain the difficulty and the scope of the projects we work on, we have many people that do many different things to help the translators. This is Celine. She comes from the USA, and she is our financial person. She works in the offices there in the missionary community. She's essential to keeping the numbers straight and making sure we don't lose money or waste it. This is Kurt Metzger and his family. They're from Colombia, and he is an IT professional. He knows how to fix the internet, whatever that is. And we oftentimes have internet issues and computer issues. Many times we have computer issues, but we have earthquakes there. A year ago, actually, pretty big earthquake, and the internet just went out for 2 months. Come to find out, it was the big cable that connects from Papua New Guinea to, I don't know, the other nation nearby, and then to Australia. The cable broke, and he was communicating with the company that was going to go fix it so we could figure out when it was all going to happen. Stuff like that I would never know. Anyway, it's good to have him there. This is Dr. Carl. He's from America, and he put a cast on one of our girls' legs one time. He diagnoses the many tropical strange diseases that the translators come back with. He's wonderful, an essential piece of being able to be there and work and live well. If you can see the white guy in the middle, Johnny Reeves, he's a pilot, and he's a wonderful pilot. He's very good at what he does, and he keeps us safe and lands on those very difficult runways. He oftentimes gets great pictures with the local kids. When an airplane lands in the village, this doesn't happen too often. All the kids come out and want to see it and he says, "You want a picture?" And they're all like, "Yes, of course." So this is what he gets, great pictures with them. This is Tiffany. Her role is she's the librarian at the primary school there. We do have a primary school and a secondary school with missionary kids and the local kids even, and other business people and other missions send their kids to the school. We call it an international school. She's a trained educator, and she's doing library work right now. She's very good at it. This is a real translator. This is someone who has done linguistics for a very long time. On the left, this is them in 1989. On the right is more recently. They have been there 30 years translating one language group scripture. When they first arrived, they did not know which language group that would be. They just knew that they were going there to translate the Bible for someone. It ended up being a language group called the Kaluli. The Kaluli live off the side of a dormant volcano. No roads connecting this place. You have to fly in on an airplane if the grass runway has been cut recently. If not, it's too dangerous. Don't come in. So they would go and they they would live amongst the people for a few months and then come back to our mission center so the kids could get good education, better education, resources for the next trip, things like that. They did this for 30 years. They finally just recently, this last year while we were there, finished. It was fun to get to know this case. There are many language projects happening, but this is just one instance because we were in Bible study with them. It was fun to get to know them. So Andy Grosh and his family, Andy Grosh is on the left there. He's the translator. And these are the Kaluli people who we brought in from their area to record their New Testament. And again, it took 3 months. This project, we decided to do a dramatized version where each voice has its own voice. So when Pilate speaks, it sounds like somebody different. When Jesus speaks, it's a elder of the community. When Mary speaks, it's a lady, that sort of thing. And in the end, we had about 67 different voices. And for a small language group of just a few thousand people, that's a very, very good thing, because then everybody feels connected. Everybody seems to know an auntie or an uncle who recorded in it. It's a good way to create excitement about it and get it distributed later on. I tell that because there have been other projects where the linguist comes in and figures it all out and translates it and gives them the book, and they don't use it because there's an identity. This is the white man's book now, because they came in and they gave it to us. This is a very important issue. We make it a strong point to come in and to raise up translators in their community and to help them translate their Bible, so that when it's done, it is their Bible. It's a beautiful thing. It's a very, very big difference. The Kluli people live in these houses. I got to go out and record the rest of those voice actors in the community there. And I love their house. So I took a picture of it because I'm like, this is just amazing. So it's hard to imagine, but if you walk up these steps and go in the house, it's about 50 feet from front end to the back end. And there's kind of like a catwalk thing in the middle where you step down into a fire pit area, and then you walk 10 more feet in another fire pit. Another fire pit, same thing on the other side. Like the aunties and the uncles and the grandparents here and my family here, and it's an extended family house. And actually, these people don't live in this house. They sleep and they cook in this house. Everything is done outside. You live on your land. They are only in this house at nighttime or over there cooking. And this is us recording the Kluli New Testament. I had to back up and take a picture of this guy on the right side there, an older gentleman with the microphone here on around his ears. He's a pastor that came from two villages over, and he wanted to record, and so we said, yeah, please come. He came. He walked 9 hours to get there that morning, and he only recorded like three lines of scripture for me. And he just was so happy to be there and so glad to be a part of the project. And I was worried for him. I was like, so is he going to walk back now? And he's like, no. He's going to spend the night with his auntie or so-and-so, and then tomorrow morning walk back. And I just was incredibly impressed at the commitment these guys have and their willingness to sacrifice a morning, a day of their life to go and record three verses of scripture. He's a pastor. He came with two other guys, individuals, and they did that. Now, Andy Grosh is sitting here, and the man on the left of him is one of the local translators that he has raised up. For 30 years, the man on the left has committed his life to this project, to translating God's word into the Kluli. And he's brilliant as far as it comes with theology, reading a chunk of scripture and saying, oh, this is what God meant by that, and he references other scripture, and he does all this stuff that we teach in the colleges here. And he's out in the middle of Papua New Guinea doing this because he's been working alongside of Andy Grosh and for 30 years. It's just a beautiful process. Here they are more recently. And I want to share that in our Bible study that we had with them, one day they came in and they said, hey, we have a surprise for you guys. And I assumed it was like some baked good or pie or something because she's a good cook. And it wasn't. It was a box of Bibles, their first printed editions of their Kluli New Testament, and it had just arrived from Korea. It had been printed in Korea and shipped and gone on the coast, and it sits there for a little while till the government says, oh yeah, it's okay, and then it comes up on a truck to us. They got a little box of 10 of them so that they could check through it, but they have a whole pallet of 1,000 or some down coming up later, and we just took a picture of it, and we're like, this is beautiful. This is really... probably the most beautiful book I've ever seen, knowing the history of this book. So it says it's the Kluli New Testament. On the bottom left there is a little bit of English, but on the top there is how they would say it. I'm not even going to try to read it. It has normal helps inside, normal Bible. There are lots of pictures because they don't have vineyards. They don't know what that looks like. They don't have goats and sheep. They don't know what that is. So when Jesus talks about these things, They need a point of reference. So we give them those with pictures, but also it's better if one of the translators sits down and gives a story about it. I'm going to move on to another translation project. The first project I had when we went over was this Gapa Paiwa language. And so I'm standing there in the middle, and the guy next to me, his name is Abraham. He said, "You can call me Abi." So I called him Abi. And his language group lives on the coast, and they're a moneyless society type of people. They live off the land. They don't need much. They are very happy where they are. But in order to come up and record their language, they had to get in a boat and travel to the nearest city, travel over the mountains on a big truck. From there, from the next big city, take an airplane up to us. It's just a very difficult place to travel around. And this is the first time they had been away from their village for this amount of time, 3 months away from their village. These are people who their life is in their garden. They've all their... To leave that garden for 3 months is to leave the responsibility to his wife or his siblings to make sure the weeds don't overgrow it and such, and that they can get food from it. It's a big sacrifice for them to leave and to do this work. So AB came up and sat in our studio, and we recorded his New Testament, the Gapa Paiwa New Testament. he's a pastor down there. One of the things that stuck out for me, my time with him, was he got much better as a reader. These people come in, and they've been practicing for a long time, getting to know their language and how to read it. And he comes in, and he reads very well. But by the end, he was reading very, extremely well. Everything was very natural in the way the sentence arc and how literacy, the things of literacy. We were finishing with Revelation. He had done Acts. He had done Hebrews in Revelation, and he was in the chapter 22, last chapter. And he gets to the end, and he starts to mess up a bunch. And I'm like, "Abi, what's wrong?" And he actually gets to a point where he starts to cry. And I realize, okay, there's something emotional going on here. So I let him recover. We finished the last few verses, and I went back to find, because I have to read along in the local language, which I don't know what it's saying, but I can phonetically follow along. And I came back, Revelation 22:12, when Jesus speaks at the end of Revelation, it says, "I'm coming soon." And basically, I'll summarize, "Your sacrifice, John, for going with me through this experience is worth it. Tell the church I'm coming soon." And he broke down in that part and couldn't finish, because I think he was realizing, this is why I came away from my garden for 3 months, is because God's coming soon, and I want my people to know him intimately through this word. It was just a beautiful moment. And we completed the New Testament, and now they have it on our little MP3 players that we distribute. I should talk about that. It's a solar-powered MP3 player that is waterproof and can go in the village, and it's a nice device. I think we have one at the table in the back. You can come see that. this is another language project I did. Now, the guy next to me there is Nico van Bodegraven. He's from Netherlands, Nico van Bodegraven. And, he's a translator that came from the Netherlands 25, 30 years ago. And was working in the Gizra language. The gentleman on the left, Paul, a local man, that's not his real name, he took that English name. Paul is he's a second-generation translator. So Nico, when he first came over, he was working with Paul's father. Now Paul is taking up the project and finishing it. They finished their translation while I was there also, so I helped them record it. Now I have a video of this. The goal of all these translations is to get it distributed, get it in everybody's hand. Now, the way we do that is we do a scripture celebration, or a scripture dedication is what we call it. But it's basically a celebration. And this video is of one of the celebrations I went to, this one. And it's just a beautiful thing. Let's go ahead and pull that up.
We felt that God had given us this work, and we couldn't just leave it halfway. We hoped maybe to finish in 15 years, but we had a few more, so.
It took us 5 years to finish the Gospel of Mark.
Yeah, there were times when it was going so slowly or there was not enough help for translation that we just think, well, if it goes on like this, we won't even live to see the end of it.
So we started training some people, the translators we had at that moment. But then also we took people to Ukurumpa for the consultant check. And that made a big difference. They went back to the village with stories how they met other translators here. And that's when the translators in the village got motivated. And one of them actually then started translating the Book of Acts by himself. Until now, they've been using the English Bible. Whenever there's being read from the English Bible in church, there's always some noises.
Distractions.
The first time when one of us read from the Gisela translation, it was real quiet. There was no noise at all. And afterwards the people said, "This is clear. Now we can understand it." Well, my mother was operated for breast cancer a year ago, August, September, had radiation in November and seemed to be okay. But then in June, she got out of breath and it turned out it had spread out into the lungs. And so in October, I left to say goodbye to my mother. Both available, I hope people will actually listen and read along. God's plans are not always our plans.
Of names at the end. Those are the people that were involved in the project from the start to the finish, all the names that Nico and Ellie could give me. And I just amazed every time I see that. I think all those people got a chance to learn how to dig into the words, the nitty-gritty parts of the words, and the overarching idea of the original authors. And just is basically a theology school happening in the village for the last 27 years. It's really amazing the amount of work that God is doing through these projects. So, by the way, the celebration that was in that video, I was there recording it with the video, but I went to bed because they kept dancing and dancing and dancing, And I woke up the next day and I said, how long did it go on? They said, it was early morning hours. And they finally all kind of went to their beds. So it's a really beautiful thing when these people, they understand the value of God's word and the value of just words. And when they come from God, man, let's dance all night. It's awesome. It's a beautiful thing. I forget why I have this picture up there, but it's a really good one. I'll just end with, I usually end with this picture saying, missions, it sometimes feels like this. Like we're going to an unknown place, like a miner going down into a hole, deep, dark hole. And missions used to be compared to this because it's much better when you're going into that hole and you have a rope tied around your waist and someone at the top of the hole is holding on saying, I got you. Yell up here if you need something. This is just a picture of what it's like here with us going overseas and you guys sending us when we first left and coming, being able to come back here and tell you what we've done. Hey, this is what we found down there. And, you know, there's a really cool relationship in the family that God has created here where we're doing something big. We're doing something global. And this is a piece of that. So just so you know, our plan is to go in January, to go back and do 3 more years of work. God can turn that into 5 or 10 or just 1, who knows. But our plan is to do 3 years. And Wycliffe Bible Translators gives us a budget to make that happen. Now, currently we're at 88% of that budget. We need to get up to 100 to go and do this. We're at 88%. Now, I say that with total peace because I know God did this before when we were launching and we came here and we probably had some crazy number that was like, wow, I don't know if they're going to make it. But no, God does this, and he does this so he can get glory out of it. He does this to say, we're not in control. God's doing this, and that's why we're in it. So right now, yes, we're at 88%, but God is good, and he can make this happen. So the ways to help us out is one-time gifts help because we need to buy tickets. We need to live every day-to-day. But what we really need is monthly partners, and that's what the church does. The missions committee sends a yearly gift. And that's part of that percentage. You can also do that individually if you feel called, if you feel like the Spirit's telling you. You can talk to us about how that works. But a monthly gift of just a little bit can bump that percent. And that's how that works. We feel super blessed to be able to stand up here and to tell you about what's happening at the edges of the world in the churches over there. Thank you for listening.
David, before we let you get too far, and Tiffany, I didn't get your permission before the service, but can you come forward as well? And we're going to make church just messy for a moment, okay? These are two with their 5 kiddos that have traveled half the world around to make life messy to further the message, right, of Jesus Christ. And so we can move out of our pews, right? If they can move half a world around, we can move out of our pews to have a moment of prayer with these two. Yes, church? Yes? So I'm going to bring them to the center of the room. As close as you can get to the Lamb family, get to them and put a hand on the shoulder of someone next to you. We do this for our grads to send them away. Why wouldn't we do it for missionaries that are preparing for another relaunch to Papua New Guinea? And so as best as you can, move close to the Lambs and let's pray for them. Lord, David shared a story with us about chickens being traumatized in a helicopter. And I imagine that's not just a bird thing, Lord, but a human being thing. There's some things that shake us up, including when we're saying yes to the calling that you've put on our life and thinking, how's this going to work with 5 kiddos and all these arrangements, including the raising of funds to spread your gospel to this people group that you've given us a heart for. And yet you found a way with those chickens. After the upheaval, to find the rhythms yet again. And we're praying in some way that would be a parable of the Lamb family too, Lord. That through the transitions, through the years it's been, through a pandemic that they've worked through getting ready for a relaunch, that you would help us to find our rhythms once again around glorifying your name and spreading your good news message of Jesus. Lord, I thank you when we have missionaries come in that that it reminds us that this gospel really is going global, that Jesus really did for so love the whole world that he came among us, Lord. And so, Lord, you're getting your message out to the world, and you're using people like the lambs. Thank you for that, Lord. We're praying not just for missionaries, though, Lord, but this is your mission to us, for all of us to go into all the world and to spread the good news. And some of us, it's in our family units. For some of us, it's in our local schools. For some of us, it's in our neighborhood hospital. For some of us, it's in Papua New Guinea. It's in China. It's in Korea. It's in Venezuela. Lord, we're just praying for your message to go global. And Lord, I'm praying specifically for the Lamb family too today. Provide for them, not only financially, Lord, but provide for them with that new language group that they have to reach out to. 900 languages? You've gifted them with these gifts and skills. Lord, help them to put it to work, to put it to use, and to make those landings and to do all the things that are needed that's going to help this message flourish. And Lord, challenge us in America too. How do we come alongside people like the lambs? How do we, like that pastor, have such a heart that it wants to travel 9 hours by foot to speak 3 verses of the Bible? Lord, give us that kind of passion and urgency and just love of Jesus that marks everything that we do, including our 9-hour routines as well. We're praying all this today in the name of Jesus. And his people said,
amen.
Amen. Now get back to your seat, okay? Thank you for sharing, David. Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you. Thank you. We've got a closing song. It's Pass It On. It is found on page 572 in the red hymnal. It's about taking a spark and starting a fire with it. And that's really ultimately what God is doing. He takes sparks and he starts fires with it, fires that blaze in the right direction. And so be reminded of that as we're singing this song together. Do you want to pass it on, church? We are given opportunities, aren't we? Opportunities sometimes as we hear what God is doing around the world, opportunities maybe that we're waking up to on Monday morning. We have opportunities to pass it on. Take the opportunity, church. Amen? We're going to give you the word of benediction following the service. David and Tiffany are going to be with some trinkets and some things from their missions work. By all means, talk to David and Tiffany. Maybe you'll have the opportunity to meet some of their kids that were back in Wiggly Worship today. Just make sure David is allowed to be back in the service at 11 a.m., okay? Because we want to hear from him yet again as a part of that second service. But hear these words of departure as we hear every single week. We want to leave this place going and following Jesus. And so depart in that way, and you're dismissed. Amen.